Hello, I'm Bruce Reynolds from Reynolds Communication. The following podcast is an initiative of the New South Wales Department of Primary Industries Dairy Industry Group. This podcast is funded by Dairy New South Wales, a regional development program of Dairy Australia. Today we're talking with Carl Berge, who's an expert in dairy animal health, and we're talking about lameness in dairy cattle. Well, Carl, why is lameness an important issue to Australian dairy farmers?
Well, it appears to be that lameness is on the rise all the way around the world. When I look at figures from 10, 12 years ago, it showed that lameness in Australia was, New Zealand was about 8%. And today I visited herds in both countries where the lameness is up to 65%. The other thing is a case of lameness can cost as little as $100, but as much as $700 to $1,000 per case. It's quite an incredible financial burden, a lame cow.
So how do Australian herds differ from American herds?
U.S. herds are mostly confined to housing and are fed a TMR that's from fermented forages or in some cases dry hay, whereas Australian herds do mostly grazing, but in the last few years what I've noticed is that we're going from a grazing to a modified feed pad system that we are actually supplementing a TMR, total mixed ration, on the side of grazing. The other thing is herds in both countries have increased in size, and these larger herds sometimes are bigger than what the cows can actually deal with.
What are some of the major causes then of lameness in dairy cows?
Today, large herds have to walk too far, and that causes excessive wear. So what we see in this case is we see problems resulting from too much wear, which is trauma to the sole, trauma to the various parts of the outside claw. And this happens because cows' hooves only grow about 5 millimeters a month, and when we're walking the cows a long distance, the wear exceeds the 5 millimeters. So we could compare this with us trying to drive a car with a 100,000-kilometer tire, but we're actually driving at 150 or 200,000. Eventually, we're going to have a flat tire.
What are some of the clinical symptoms then that farmers would observe?
We see a lot of lesions from trauma, which is because of the thin soles, and mainly they're white line lesions, white line abscesses, and sole injuries. And then in some cases we see some toe ulcers that's again the result of thin soles or some axial cracks. And during the wet weather we can also find an occasional case of foot rot.
Let's look at after calving, and why is the 40 to 80 day period after calving such an important time for hoof health?
Many things happen around calving. When we look at a first calf heifer as an example, they go through a major change. They get another. That's the first time they are exposed to the milking sheds, milking harvest equipment, exposed to a larger group of cows. So they have a social change, but they also have hormonal and enzyme changes within their bodies that cause the ligaments to loosen up. The other thing is heifers, as an example, have to learn how to walk all over again because now all of a sudden they have another. It's kind of like a huge, big change for a heifer, but it's also a change for a cow because many times the feeding changes at that particular time.
With that change, can you explain the concept then of the cow's daily time budget?
Cows have 24 hours in a day. Most of the time, when we look at grazing cows, we have eating, laying, milking, and moving to and from the paddocks. They have a little bit of social time. Resting time is real crucial for high-producing cows, and it's real crucial for low lameness rates. Because a lot of the research out there has shown if we force-stand cows for an extended period at times, lameness goes up. And we see that especially critical in our confinement systems in North America or Europe. The longer the cows stand, the higher the lameness rates go. So our goal in the States is to have confinement cows laying down anywhere from 12 to 14 hours a day, where a grazing cow in general will lay down, if she's just grazing, she lays down somewhere between 8 and 11 hours a day, But if we force her to stand longer on in the milking sheds or on a feed pad, we're always taking away from laying down time, making it more risky for her to become lame.
Now, in Australia, we have a fair bit of heat in a lot of the dairy industries.
Mm-hmm.
Does heat stress in cows have an impact on that hoof health?
It has a huge impact because it goes back to standing time. A cow that is hot will not lay down sometimes for several hours. If she gets overheated in the milk shed, she will not lay down for several hours because a hot cow will do participate her heat, she has to stand. So by making them stand longer because they're hot, that again has an effect in the blood circulation to the hoof. And what we see is that with some research that has been done, that lameness generally skyrockets about 40 to 60 days past the hottest day or the hottest week of the year. So like here in Australia, if the hottest week of the year is like the first week of February, like late March, early April, we'll see a huge increase in lameness.
Now, it's not really practical to put air conditioning in for the cattle, so what sort of strategy should you be looking at to try and reduce that heat stress?
I think the most important part is to have shade and water. Water will cool cows, and I think that as the herds are getting larger, dairy producers need to understand is when they move their cows into the milking sheds and put 400 cows into a milking shed, that's BTUs that those cows are producing in that milking shed. We could heat a whole city sometimes. So we have to make sure that when we move cows together as close proximity as we do in the milking sheds, that we do everything we can in those places to cool the cows, like with shade, with water, in some cases with fans, and maybe even with some exit cooling, because if they're coming out of the milking sheds hot, they are not going to eat, they are not going to lay down, which that extra standing time will result in the extra lameness 40 to 60 days down the road.
Now, you've been talking a lot about the wearing of the hooves, but how can Australian dairy farmers reduce that wear on cows' hooves?
Well, like we talked before, walking distances play a major role. I think it's very, very important that we, first of all, make sure cows have their time budget is taken care of, okay? We got to keep tracks dry, and maybe we have to manage the paddocks so we can minimize walking distances on a per month basis. Another thing we can do is, We might be able to apply some wood chips or hardwood sawdust or any type of fibers under the tracks, especially during times where tracks are wet, where the stones are more exposed, where the wear is more extensive during the wetter weather. Because when the weather is wet, the hoof is also absorbs more moisture, making it wear even more quickly.
What, if any, nutritional supplements could you possibly give the dairy animals to improve or gain good hoof length and sole thickness in the cow's hooves?
There is some trace minerals and vitamins that have shown somewhat of a benefit in maybe hardening the hoofs a little bit or improve the horn cells. But again, too, it will never make up the extra distance that some of those cows walk today, because in my opinion that some of the farms have gotten too large all around the world for the cow to deal with. So we're making the herds too big, and cows eventually travel too far. And that extra traveling causes their hooves to actually wear more. And sometimes there's really not a whole lot we can do except trying to reduce wear by making them stand less. In some cases, we can put rubber belting down, but that's going to be quite an expensive task.
With hoof maintenance, what is functional hoof trimming, and what cows should be treated?
Functional hoof trimming is about assessing claw length, claw imbalance, and correcting it through a step-by-step system, trimming system that was developed by a Dutch veterinarian that had a real passion for hoof trimming. So what it does is functional trimming gives us rules, dictates to us how much horn to remove, but also, even more importantly, how much horn to leave on, which today with the larger herds, when we're in a deficit, sometimes we have to assess the cloth, but there's very little trimming we can do. There's no extra length there, so we have to sometimes only correct the imbalance and deal with claw horn problems. And when we deal with claw horn problems, we have to apply blocks, which are orthopedic shoes. They're made out of either wood or plastic. We glue them on the healthy claw to elevate the diseased claw, to help the diseased claw recover.
What are some of the common errors then that people take when they do hoof trimming?
You know, most people think when we talk about hoof trimming that we either turn the grinder on or take the knife and just go to town. So all over the world, most cows in the regular trims are over-trimmed. But when it actually comes to claw horn lesions, so if the cow actually has a problem, people never go far enough. And when we don't go far enough, we usually inhibit or we do reduce the good recovery rates. So the reason people don't go far enough in some cases because that takes extra time, and people don't want to take the extra time and patience to completely remove all the diseased horn that's present in a particular claw.
What are the consequences then if we don't treat cattle for lameness?
Well, the consequences are that we get a chronic cow. We get a cow that receives damage internally to the bone, to the soft tissue inside, a scarring of the soft tissue, which makes this cow down the road much more susceptible to become lame again. So she basically, we start a vicious cycle where she is lame. She kind of improves for a little bit, but maybe in 3 months, she's right back at us lame again. And sometimes some of that, if we intervene early or if we intervene correctly, we can do a lot by not having her become lame again.
What are the roles of antibiotics in treatment of lameness?
The only disease where antibiotics are really effective is foot rot. Foot rot is a disease of the soft tissue between the claws, and it's caused by bacteria. So it takes some type of an abrasion, and just like here in the last week in New South Wales, we've had a fair amount of rain, and when the cows walk down the tracks and the stones come up and get in between the two claws, it can cause an abrasion. The bacteria that cause the foot rot, they're in the environment. They're in the manure. They're in some of the areas where there's standing water. So they're kind of opportunistic. And if the skin is damaged between the claws, they cause an entrance and cause an acute swelling. So with foot rot, it's very important, and that antibiotics are highly effective if the cows are treated in the first 8 to 20 hours. After that, the results are rarely ever satisfying because the inflammation in the hoof is so much that the circulation is reduced, and the antibiotic that's administered is not getting to the source of the infection.
How important is a consistent diet to achieve healthy cow's hooves?
As far as we know, that a diet change frequently will result in acidosis or rumen acidosis, and what it does is it causes rumen microbes to die off. Dying rumen microbes release endotoxins. The endotoxins end up in the bloodstream, causing vascular constrictions in the cloth, which reduces circulations to the cloth, which on the further end of it causes the inflammation or deprives the hoof of nutrients, oxygen, and in some cases it doesn't reduce the inflammation that's caused by standing in the milking sheds, by having them forced stand on the feed pad. So lameness will start up. It's really important that we gradually make feed changes, like over a week to 10 days. And what I mean by that is, like, when we're changing silages, when we're changing the grains, or when we're bringing a heifer on the grain when she first calves, or a fresh cow on the grain, we should do that over a matter of 10 days to 2 weeks. I'm not convinced that changes in pasture grass If we can stay somewhat consistent, we'll have the effects as fermented feed, swill, or grain.
What is the cause of cows with one or two long claws and walking on their heels?
In general, when we have one or two long claws on a cow and they're usually straight and long toes, it's the potential problem generally is an axial crack. In some areas or on some farms, it's very common, in other farms, it's not. They're caused due to the reduced dorsal wall angle, and in general, we find them more where they're always on the outside hind claws or sometimes in the front inside claws. They may be caused, or they're more dominant on farms where tracks have are very crowned, or where cows make repetitive turns in the same direction all the time. As an example, turning off of a rotary milking parlor without on a concrete floor where it's really abrasive or really stressful to turn for the claw. So in those cases, we would see sometimes, depending which way they're turning, we'd see one side more predominant with these axial wall cracks than another.
For this podcast and many more podcasts, fact sheets, and videos, I encourage you to visit the New South Wales DPI website and click on Dairy.